We say good evening as well. As Brother Ray mentioned, 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 to 14, an account where a little bit of humility replaced a host of pride and made a big impact on an individual's life. Reading from 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 to 14. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away a captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God, to kill and to make alive, and that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, "Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharphar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned, and he went away in a rage. And his servants came near, and spake unto him, and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, 'Wash and be clean'?" Then went he down, and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. All who are able at this time with the reading of the scripture on our mind, shall we reverently kneel for a word of prayer.
Greetings tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior. I'm blessed by some little things. Maybe I'm different, I don't know, but I was blessed tonight to see the full moon. I really was. It reminded me that all is well with God on his throne. God is right on time. God hasn't missed a thing. And God is faithful, as the full moon in the sky reminded me. I think back over my life. For some reason, I've taken pleasure in full moons. I think they're beautiful, and especially with the snow on the ground. Our title tonight is Available to Serve God. Here again, maybe I'm different, but sometimes I just sort of stop in life and wonder what it's all about and wonder what in the world I'm trying to accomplish. And I have no idea when it'll be over. It could be today yet. It could be tomorrow. And then what? What did I do? So tonight, the title is Available to Serve God. And don't take anything personal tonight. If it feels like I'm starting to step on toes, I'm crushing my own. Ask that question tonight, sincerely. Are you available to serve God? You and you and you, everybody. Personal, not the other guy, not the guy beside you or in front of you. Are you available to serve God? Am I? Who owns your life? Who truly is in charge? Who truly is in control? Who owns your life? Who owns my life? Are you on call? One day a week? For the Lord of glory? 2 days a week? How many days a week are you on call? I've asked myself all these questions and I continue to. How many days of the week am I on call? I always have to preach to myself. How easily can your earthly plans be put on hold or changed? How big of a struggle is that? When suddenly we realize that the Lord has something else for us to do. First Corinthians chapter 6, 14 to 20, and God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God? And ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. If you have been redeemed tonight, you have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you have been redeemed tonight, you have been bought. You have been purchased. You are no longer your own. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 4 to 8. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Are we available to serve God? We're not when we walk after the flesh. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If we cannot please God, we cannot serve God. Are we available tonight to serve God? We stress baptism, and yes, we should, and the Bible teaches baptism. But what about the symbolism? What about the symbolism in Romans chapter 6? Romans chapter 6, verses 3 to 5. Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? When we agree to be baptized, and when we are baptized, we are saying we're willing to die to what we had been, to the old nature, the old sinful nature. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. The symbolism of baptism, death and newness of life. Dying with Christ as he hung on the cross and as he died and was buried, and then rising with him in newness of life. As your old sinful self, centered nature, ever been buried with Christ? As mine. If not, we are not available to serve God. 2 Kings chapter 5, where Brother Eric read from, available to serve God. Naaman was a high-ranking military official. He was a powerful man. He was a successful man. He was prominent. He was highly thought of, and he had helped Syria to be successful. He was probably a man of high social and economic standing. A successful man, powerful and strong. But lo, he had a problem. He had leprosy. Read Leviticus 13:14 and see what a problem he had. Because that was written for the Israelites. But yeah, he had a problem. Such a strong, powerful man, and he it was like he could just be successful out on the battlefield. And yet he has a problem that he doesn't know what to do with. He doesn't know how to deal with it. He doesn't know where to go with it. He doesn't know how to conquer it. Suddenly, this powerful man is a weakling. He needs help. He couldn't fix this problem. All the authority and the power that he had as a military high-ranking official, he couldn't get rid of this problem. Leprosy was a dreaded disease. For the Israelite, it meant being banished outside the camp. You had to be alone. People couldn't come in contact with you. Verse 2, that Brother Eric read, enter in the life of Naaman, powerful on one hand, but a dreaded problem on the other hand that he could not overcome. Enter a little Israelite girl. We read over these accounts, and I was guilty for years reading over this account, 2 Kings chapter 5, and just floated right over top this little girl. But look at this little girl in verse 2. The Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited, she served Naaman's wife. She was a slave girl. She was a slave girl. This girl was a victim of war. This girl was taken away from mother and dad. She was taken away from brothers and sisters, uncles and aunts, grandparents, all things familiar. She was taken away from her pets, if she might have had some pets. She had favorite things to do. She had favorite things to go outside and play. All gone. Taken away from all that. Robbed. Totally, seemingly robbed of her life. This little Israelite girl, victim of war, became a servant, a slave. Now in a strange place, around strange people that did strange things. She was in a different culture. Strange, everything strange. Talked strange, did strange things. Strange culture. That's where she finds herself. Now, let's see, she has some choices she can make. Wow, it would be pretty easy for her to make the choice of bitterness. Can you imagine being in her shoes? Being angry? Being full of hatred for her captors? For those who are making her work? Total strangers? Instead, in this strange land, this little girl chooses to be available for God and to serve Him. And by her amazing attitudes and responses to life situations, she is choosing to be in a place and making herself available to bring glory to the God of creation, the God of Israel, the only God. She chooses to be available to God and exalt His name. And she chooses, of all things, to show compassion. Compassion to all people, of all people, those who have made her a slave. Certainly Naaman, with this miserable problem that he just can't shake, never thought for a moment that this little Israelite girl in his household, this slave that is in his house, that she could help with that problem. She could do the dishes. She could do some cleaning. She could wait on them and do whatever they didn't want to do. But the thought never entered his mind that this girl could be an answer and could lead the way and point the way to help with this wretched problem of leprosy. And had she chosen self-pity, a self-pity party, as they call them, resentment, if she'd have chosen resentment and hatred, she could have helped no one. No one at all. But incredibly tonight, as you know, let it sink in. This is a little Israelite maid, this little girl, and she's a war captive, and she's in a strange land. I think it's incredible. She cared about her captors. She had compassion and desired healing for Naaman's leprosy. She said in verse 3 unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. This girl had a heart. Now, maybe I think they were kind to her. But still, no matter how kind they were to her, her life was just ripped in pieces. Her home life was just shattered. No matter how kind they were to her, but somehow I get the thought that possibly they were, and that would have helped. Jesus taught, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you. Jesus, our great missionary Savior, dying on the cross, said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Father, they don't know what, they don't understand. They don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. Wow. Verse 4 of our text says, and one went in and told his Lord, saying, less and less saith the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go to, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. The man of God was Elisha. He was the prophet in Israel. That this girl, she had the utmost confidence, I believe, in God, but also in this man of God who worked for God. And she joins the team here. She joins the team here of Elisha and God Almighty. Incredible. I think it is. Skipping down to verses 9 to 12, so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Think Naaman expected Elisha to show up at the door? Oh, yeah. Prominent man. He expected more of a royal greeting than what he got. He surely expected to see Elisha's face. He never did. Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, went away, said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me. See, he didn't even get to see Elisha face to face. And surely he would simply strike out a hand and strike this leprosy away from my body. He would call in the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Cleanse Naaman. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Have I ever been that close to the help I needed? And in my stubbornness and in my pride, I forfeited it. I don't know. Have you? Well, we read on. The last two verses there that Brother Eric read, his servants came near and spake unto him. They had more sense than him. They said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean, something simple. Why don't you just try this simple thing that you've been asked to do? He hasn't asked you to do anything great. Of course, then he probably would have did it. And just like that, he listened. At least his, I don't know, this man wanted rid of his leprosy. And he swallowed some pride here, and he listened to reason. And he quit being stubborn. And he went on down and dipped himself 7 times into Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. A little child pointed the way. A little Israelite slave girl, a little child pointed the way. And now his flesh has come back like a little child. Beautiful. Beautiful. And he was clean. That meant a lot to a leper, to be clean. It should mean every bit as much and even more when you and I are clean, because Jesus' blood washed it all away. All the filth. Verse 15 is so important. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, behold, now I know. Now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. It goes back to that little Israelite maid. She hath brought glory and honor to God Almighty. She has. I don't know how old she was. you youngsters here tonight, you're never too young. You're never too young. God wants to use you. He is using you, and he will continue to use you in amazing ways that you never dreamed of. You might not even know it sometimes. Let him do it. Let the God of your salvation be praised. Now I know, oh, that the world through our lives, through your testimony, through your being available to God to serve him, oh, that the world, that maybe one person would realize because of your availability to God, that they would realize that there is no other God on the earth but the one you serve and the Jesus Christ that you declare by your life. To God be the glory. Elisha is in the background. This little girl is in the background. She's really in the background. But even the man of God, Elisha, he's in the background. God gets the glory. And he must. He must every time. I think it's significant that Elisha never showed his face to Naaman. The little girl, forgotten. It's all about God. Are you available to serve God? To bring glory to his holy name? Like this little Israelite girl. Even more important, far more important than cleansing from leprosy, Naaman now recognizes the one true God. Oh, that people would do that because of the life you choose to live and the life I choose to live. Something for eternity. This life is fleeting and it's going to pass. And then what? Do you ever do like me and wonder what it's all about? You wonder, what am I accomplishing? How self-centered is my life? How materialistic is it? Some of those thoughts frustrate me. What was Jesus' focus during his time here on earth? It was people. It was people. His days were interrupted, although I think he knew what was going to happen, but he would have interruptions like the woman that grabbed a hold of the hem of his garment. He knew that woman would be at Jacob's well, and he took time there. People. Jesus was available to do his heavenly Father's work while here on this earth. I'm not going to hold us so terrible long on this winter night. That was especially an example, I think, for these young sisters that are here tonight. For you young men, there's a tremendous example in Joseph. He amazes me. Same thing. Torn away from home life. I believe his mother had died, but his father, he loved his father. His father loved him. Maybe a little too much compared to the other brothers. But he was ripped away from all that. Everything that he knew, everything that was familiar in his life, his favorite things to do with the livestock and whatever, all gone. He was the object of hatred. He was the object of murderous thoughts. Reuben was planning to get him out of that pit. But, you know, as it all turned out, things went differently than what they were planning. And those Midianites, what was that other? Ishmaelites, it was synonymous. same group. I might go into this a little bit. Genesis chapter 37. I bring this up about Joseph because here is another amazing example of one who was young and they were making their life available to serve God. However God might choose to do that. Now, we don't have to guess at his age. He was 17. We are told that very clearly in Genesis chapter 37, verse 2. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. I asked Brother Ray, sitting up here tonight, because of the way it ties in, I said, in your studies, did you figure out pretty close, a good idea, maybe how old David was when he took the head off of Goliath? And I figured it was teenage, but Brother Ray's answer set me back a little bit. Brother Ray said 12 or 13. Based on some things, like how many brothers he had in there and how old some of the older ones would have had to be, and 12 or 13. Here's Joseph. He's 17 years old. He ends up a slave in a strange land where they talk funny, where they do funny things. A strange culture. And just like this little Israelite maid girl, he doesn't become bitter. He doesn't become angry. He keeps a heart toward his God, and he chooses to be faithful and available and serve God. And he brought much honor and glory to God down in Egypt. And I don't have half enough time, and I won't even attempt it, but a lot of you know the account, but God just used him in an amazing way. God had a plan in it all, and we don't realize that sometimes, and we say God can't know what he's doing, and we get all frustrated. But Joseph did not, and he allowed God to bring that plan to fruition through his submitted life, that his own people, the people of God and the people of Joseph's household, would be saved from starvation. And Joseph was used in a mighty way. It's thought that Daniel was about 15 when Jerusalem was besieged by Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon, and they decided to carry off certain young men who were kind of like perfect young specimens and no blemish. And there in Daniel 1, you read about how they decided to feed these young men a special diet. But it says very clearly what Daniel thought about that. And in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, it says, Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And I wondered already, what about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? And don't ask me why we know them. I don't know why we know them by their heathen names, by their Babylonian names. We don't know Daniel by his Babylonian name. It was Belshazzar, but we know him by Daniel, the Hebrew name. Those names are quite interesting. They all had wonderful Hebrew names with great meaning. Daniel, God is my judge, was changed to Belteshazzar. Bel will protect. Hananiah, whose name meant God is gracious, became Shadrach, which meant inspiration of the sun. Mishael, his name meant God is without equal. That got changed to Meshach, belonging to Aku. And Azariah meant the Lord is my helper, and that got changed to Abednego, servant of Nego. Their names that they were given were intended to help them change into the Babylonian way of things. but it did not work. But yeah, we know Daniel by his Hebrew name. When we say Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we're talking Babylonian names. But all teenagers, no doubt, maybe right around the age of 15, they were carried away from their homeland. Again, all that they knew, all that they were comfortable with, all that they enjoyed. I am impressed with Daniel and his three friends that they took the stand they did over and over in a strange land. Teenagers, 15 years old. I believe we have young people right now who will do the same thing. And I thank God for that. What about us older ones? Sometimes I'm more positive about the young generation than my age. I don't know why I feel that way. But anyways, we have a little Israelite girl tonight who brought honor and glory to the God of Israel while she was in a strange land and a strange household. Joseph did the same thing. Daniel and his three friends also did the same. My challenge tonight to each one, no matter what our age, and I don't care if you're only 6 or 7 or 8 years old or whatever, 10, 12, 13, 14, 15, or getting old like me, allow that little Israelite girl and Joseph and Daniel and friends to inspire you to be available and serve God no matter what. No matter what. We think it's bad sometimes. But is it really as bad as what we've shared tonight with the little girl and with Joseph, Daniel? No matter what. Let's all take that challenge and see what God wants to do before we all find ourselves in eternity. Like Isaiah, his response to the Lord was, "Here am I, send me."